FM and 1450.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest salvo in the Trump administration's fight with Ukraine, Kyiv rejecting Donald Trump's offer to settle war debts by handing over half the country's mineral resources to the United States. Hamas to release six more hostages tomorrow as a part of the ceasefire. Israel's prime minister vowing revenge after one of the bodies handed over yesterday turned out not to be that of an abducted mother, Cherie Bibas. The Pope is improving.
Pope Francis continues to receive treatment for pneumonia at Rome's Gemelli Hospital. Sources tell ABC News the Pope is still working and seeing Vatican officials, spending his time between bed and an armchair, also reporting that he's breathing independently. Thursday night, doctors said the Pope's condition has improved and signaled that he's responding well to treatment. It's unclear how long Pope Francis will remain hospitalized or whether he will lead noon prayer on Sunday. Marcus Moore, ABC News, Rome.
Court date today for Luigi Mangione, accused of killing insurance CEO Brian Thompson. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A Republican bill that would ban students from using cell phones in the classroom passed the Wisconsin State Assembly Wednesday. The legislation passed on a party-line vote. Republican lawmakers say the bill would be beneficial for the mental health of students and includes exceptions for emergencies or teacher-authorized educational purposes. State Democrats criticize the bill as a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't make sense. They say any cell phone policy should include feedback from parents, teachers, and students. Both candidates for the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court election say they will not pledge to recuse themselves from cases involving the political parties backing their campaigns. Both state parties have donated millions to their preferred candidate in what will likely be the most expensive Supreme Court campaign in history. Supreme Court candidates are not required by law to recuse themselves from cases involving a political party, and the decision to recuse is typically left up to the justices. Both claim they will not prejudge cases. People who lost their homes to Hurricane Helene or California wildfires could get a sizable tax break to move to Wisconsin. State Representative Cindy Duchow and State Senator Dan Fahan are sponsoring a bill that would give anyone who moves to Wisconsin from North Carolina or Los Angeles County due to the hurricane or the fires a $10,000 income tax credit for 2025. Duchow and Fahan introduced the bill Tuesday. They say in a memo seeking co-sponsors that the bill could help alleviate chronic workforce shortages in Wisconsin. The bill's prospects are unclear. The 25th and final Lee Lake Polar Bear Plunge will be held Saturday in Cazenovia. The auction will begin at 11:30 and the plunge will be held at 2. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks beating the Clippers at Fiserv Forum, 116-110. Giannis Antetokounmpo back after missing six games, leading the team with 23 points in just 24 minutes of playing time. Head coach Doc Rivers, though, pleased with the team's defensive performance in the fourth quarter.
I thought we guarded the ball. I thought our length was a major factor out there. I thought Brooke, Jericho, Giannis, Kuz, all just their length. That was big for us.
College basketball, Marquette on the road against Villanova. Shaka Smart says whenever the Golden Eagles play at home, he's inspired by the banner that honors two former coaches.
I look up in the rafters and I just think about those guys, and I think about Al McGuire and Hank Raymond's. Just what they put into this program, how they created success, the fact that they went through adversity just like we do. Their road wasn't always a smooth one.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Happy Friday to you. I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Still rather chilly today. Sunny skies to be expected with highs near 20. Wind chills as low as 14 below in the morning. Warmer this weekend. Mostly sunny skies both days. Highs in the upper 20s on Saturday and then near 40 by Sunday. Right now, it's 5 below.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, we discuss the idea that women should just make sandwiches for their men and maybe shouldn't even have the right to vote, because that's what's coming from the MAGAs. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm blessed that it's Friday, TGIF. I'm so happy it's Friday, man. The weekend is above us. I'll be in Green Bay tomorrow for a showcase, and I'm just living life. The weather warmed up a little bit. How about you, Earl?
Hey, Sandy, you ever notice the young guys... It's Friday. Were you?
Ever... It's like they just scrape through Monday through Thursday to get to Friday, so that they can get to Saturday.
Do you think we were ever like that?
Yeah, I do remember. I do remember the week seeming very long, and this weekend seeming very short. I remember there was a relativity problem there.
Yeah, well, by now you know who that voice is. That's my co-host Sandy Williams. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right, and you know,
hey Sandy,
Bucks,
it's Friday.
The Bucks last night. The Bucks last night did it. That's a good thing.
Hey, Sandy, but I can't let you skip. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. You've been retired for a while. Does it
Every
matter?
Day's Friday. Does it,
yeah, that's what I was going to say to you. Repeat that.
Yeah, every day is Friday. Well, actually, depending on how you retire, every day is Saturday. You know?
Yeah, there is
every
something.
Every night can be Friday night. You know, it's
kind of nice, right?
Yeah, it's nicer than you think it's going to be. Actually, it works out all right.
Well, you know, when you have you know, family, and you have things that you do and activities. I mean, if you retire just to sit at home on the couch.
Not good.
Not good. But if you stay active and moving like I know you do.
I think life has got to have purpose. And so what retirement has allowed me to do is simply to gauge what I want to do. And to do that, to focus my guns and effort on things that I would like to accomplish. And so, you know, I think that many people, look at Jimmy Carter. I mean, retirement was hardly a retirement for him.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, we got a lot to talk about today, as always. I want to begin with the shocking news of the Bucks yesterday.
Yeah.
Man, when I heard that, you know, well, first off,
we're talking about Bobby Portis mistakenly, apparently, taking a banned substance, being tested for it, and now being suspended for 25 games, which is essentially the rest of the season.
Sandy, He's their third guy.
Yeah.
Scoring, rebounding. And if you took away anybody else's third guy, it would be devastating. So it's going to have a profound effect.
Well, I felt particularly badly because I think Doc Rivers did the right thing yesterday to have a press conference to discuss who Bobby Portis is and how this happened and ask the fans to understand, look, this is not because this person is a drug abuser. This is because this person mistakenly took a drug called Tamerol when it should have been Tadorol. You know, I'll probably get them confused because I'm not conversant. But one of them is a opioid-containing drug to be taken for healing from, and the other, and they're both used for the same purpose. It's just that, and an aide thought he was giving him the right drug and gave him the wrong drug. And apparently this story has been checked out. It's what happened. But the NBA rule is apparently indelible and unbendable. And if the test is positive, you get suspended.
Well, you know, you can't blame the NBA. That their rules are what they are for a reason. And,
sure.
And so they can't do something special for Bobby Portis, right? I mean,
right.
That's what it is. But the truth of the matter is, Sandy, now we'll see. People have been questioning whether or not Doc Rivers can coach. I've heard a lot of people say he can't coach. I think Doc Rivers is a much better coach than they've given him credit for. Sandy, he's been putting together pieces. And I think after watching the game last night, he's got some better tools to work with. People were looking for some major big trade during looking for some, you know, off the chart trade during the deadline, but clearly they didn't have the pieces or any of those things. But they've kind of remade the team, Sandy.
Well, you know, they took a flyer on this Kevin Porter, who apparently was having trouble not so much with his talent, but with keeping himself harnessed and focused to use his talent. He was a high draft choice. There were high expectations for him, and I think this were his fourth team in 4 years or something. But the guy, you know, if in fact, he makes good, he's a super talent, you know, and so they've maybe done some things that could be big improvements. They've got some younger athletic people like you've been talking about they need.
You know, I'm like, you know, this, you know, there's always some naysayer, Mark, who says if we believe that Bobby Portis did this unknowingly, there is no hope. I mean, Bobby Portis is not a guy. His character, Sandy, is, and the things that he does in the community, the kind of person he is, there's no question who Bobby Portis is. And for someone to question, you know, who he is and whether or not his character, it's just ridiculous, right?
Well, you know, that person is operating out of cynicism. He doesn't know Bobby Portis any better than we do. And we're operating on the information that's being provided by the team, by Portis, by the league, by the coach. And I guess he's operating on a different basis.
Well, you know, Sandy, because the amount of money that these owners and organizations invest in their players, that they know who their players are, right? They do the research. They don't have druggies hanging around playing.
Well, I do know this, that the Bucks have focused on character as being an important ingredient because they understand that in a league with a bunch of young people who are earning tons of money, that people can go the wrong direction and it can cost you and your locker room a great deal, you know? So I think that, you know, I lean in the direction of both believing and trusting the words of the folks that are talking about exactly what happened.
Oh, absolutely. And the people who are around these people who know their character, you know, and you know, I've seen Bobby Portis. He, you know, he's got great character. He's a great character guy. You know, he's not Middleton, but he's pretty close to it when you talk about what he does to, in the community. And he's a community guy. But anyway, I'll tell you, Sandy, they looked good last night. The trade that people really were upset about when they brought in, what's the guy's name?
Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah, Kuzma.
Yeah.
That's going to turn out to have been a really good trade. He's athletic. He can score in more ways than Middleton could. You know, he's up and down the court, Sandy. He's big and strong and fast, and he can run with Giannis. They're going to be much better.
And he's shooting threes from the other three-point line, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're clearly going to be better. The question, Sandy, is the moves they made pale in comparison to the moves Cleveland made. And Cleveland was already a team that keeps piling on. They're like the Celtics last year. They know that they're a breath away from becoming a championship team, so they're going all in. Bucks, I don't see the Bucks winning a NBA championship, Sandy, but the Bucks are entertaining. And to me, that's kind of what you want, right?
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, you can hope. It's interesting. Some teams come out of nowhere, come out of left field, at least in the playoffs. You know, you can win 4 out of 7.
Right.
It's a little harder to do that. But Toronto, there have been some teams in the past who've come out of left field and went a long way.
Yeah. Listen, the Bucks. You and I follow the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
The Bucks are better now. That you remember a year or two ago, they were the oldest team in the league. We didn't think there was any way, no draft choices. We didn't think there was any way possible that they could get younger. Sandy, they've gotten younger.
Yeah, so have you, Earl.
Hey, don't come on, man. Come on, man.
In your dreams.
I know. Anyway, Sandy, we've got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about. Let's say this. The person who's in the White House, Sandy, doesn't represent himself. All the moves he makes represents the American people. And so as I'm watching and reading things, it's saying the American people, the American people, the American people. He is our president, Sandy, and he represents us, whether we like it or not. Before the world, he represents us, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we can talk about it after the break, but, you know, I think that the problem, I mean, you can have issues with policy. You can also have issues with decorum and form. You can have problems as well with process. And so, you know, there's some of the policies that we're talking about are okay as far as I'm concerned, but the way they're being implemented, the form and the process and the lack of deliberation, all of these things are potentially extremely troubling and are troubling. And I had coffee yesterday with a couple of guys who were peers of mine, and basically we were sort of semi-comatose when it came to talking about how different things are today than they've ever been before.
855-752-4842. Sandy, when we come back, I want to stop it at the Ukraine conversation and your thoughts. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself go out. And all the girls dreamed that they'd be your partner. They'd be your partner.
All right, we can play that for the rest of the show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and Sandy the Music.
Well, she doesn't talk about the guy being orange, but when he looked in the mirror, there was an orange glint.
It's a great choice. Let me, before we go to Ukraine, that was something you and I were going to start the conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that's come up this past week is you know, I talked earlier about the imperial presidency and the extent to which Project 2025 has a concept of shifting the power substantially in the direction of the president, and that the president is elected by the people, and the people who occupy the offices and the various agencies are simply hired by the government but not elected by the people, and that therefore the president, as the elected executive, ought to have great power. And even to the extent of getting to the point of being quite imperial. And our president quoted first Napoleon Bonaparte, saying, "He who breaks no law, I mean, he who saves his country breaks no law." And then yesterday, after lifting the congestion pricing process in New York, tweeted, "Long live the king." So this is a man who has a view of himself as having imperial powers, and everyone in the administration talks about the extent to which he was elected with this mandate that the people have spoken. Well, I went back to look at the presidential elections during this century to see what the margin of election has been. And so, you know, it's interesting. George Bush II in 2004 was elected with 50.7% of the vote, a bare majority. Barack Obama was elected by 52.9%, the second time by 51%. Donald Trump then was elected by 46%. Joe Biden was elected by 51.3% of the people. And in this last election, Donald Trump was elected by 49.8% of the people. Donald Trump's the only president in this century who's been elected by less than half of the people, less than a full majority. In any case, though, the extent to which people come into office as president with huge mandates is a falsehood. It's a very close to majority kind of number in any case. And in Barack Obama's case, he had all of these people in their first election got a Congress that was also elected with them. So they had a couple of years of the capacity to pass bills. But when Barack Obama was president, Mitch McConnell said that it was his job to make sure that Barack Obama got nothing accomplished. And they began to stonewall him after 2 years. And so then he began to use executive orders, nowhere near the number of executive orders being used by Donald Trump today. And the Republicans became unglued. They talked about how Barack Obama was an unconstitutional president, exercising powers like a monarch. And, you know, they came apart at the seams when a Democrat did this. Today, with the Republican, we have a different situation where we've got people on the Republican side saying, look, this man was elected. He can do anything he wants, essentially, and that's the way he's behaving. And that's the problem with shifting so much power to a president when presidents get elected with very slim majorities, if they get elected with a majority at all.
You know, Sandy, the fact that when this was put together, the founding fathers said congressmen and senators did not have, you know, a limit. They could remain there as long as the people continued to elect them. Presidents only got 8 years. There's a reason that the founding fathers created it in that manner, Sandy.
Well, actually, the founding fathers didn't put the 8-year limit on. That came after FDR, but in a constitutional amendment.
But it
was done for a reason.
Right.
At that time, people were concerned about having imperial presidents. They were accusing Franklin Roosevelt of being an imperial president. He got elected multiple times, primarily because he was a wartime president. Got two of those elections occurred during World War II. But there's definitely purpose behind it. And there's also purpose behind the checks and balances, and there's purpose behind having due process procedures for the implementation of rules, as well as the removal of rules. And there's also purpose behind the fact that the president doesn't have the power, according to the Supreme Court up till now, to simply impound money that's been authorized to be spent by Congress for programs.
Well, you know, Sandy, they clearly disagree with that. And so they're going to push the envelope and make somebody. I thought the decision was already made, you know, how much power a president had. But apparently they're looking to say, well, we've got more power than what you've said we have.
Well, they fully intend, and Project 2025 is all about this, they fully intend to push the edge of the envelope as far as possible with respect to the power of the president, the imperial power of the president. And that term is being used by those who are in pursuit of this. You know, they are looking to make the president, put him in a position where he runs the government. But what we're watching is that when you put that much power in one person's hand, he can create something that looks a great deal like a Cosa Nostra protection racket in terms of the way he threatens people into obtaining the kind of conduct that he personally wants.
All right. 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Sandy, after, you know, laying that out, on the other side, we'll make sure we have a conversation about the threats being made to Ukraine. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Planned Parenthood is expanding vasectomy services to Madison. Planned Parenthood's Director of Communications, Annalise Eicher, says they've seen an uptick in demand following the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. She says it is a conversation that hasn't historically included men, but points out reproductive health is for everyone. Planned Parenthood first launched the service in Milwaukee in 2023. The service is now being offered at the group's Eastside Madison location. Asking for help for a pair of orphan cats, and not just any cats. The Dane County Humane Society hopes to raise $5,000 to cover costs of caring for two bobcats. The male bob kittens were estimated to be just 12 to 16 weeks old, dehydrated and malnourished when admitted to the Society's Wildlife Center a few days apart in August. Since then, they've received medical treatment and a diet including pheasants, rodents, and venison. The Humane Society said in a news release that as they grow larger, so do their voracious appetites. Just feeding them costs $200 per week. You can find out more at the Humane Society's Facebook page or at giveshelter.org. Individual conservation organizations are taking bird flu mitigation efforts into their own hands with an uncertain future on federal support for tracking the virus. Organizations like the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance and Wisconsin Humane Society are sharing tips with residents on how to help prevent the spread of bird flu in wild animals, like removing bird feeders to keep wild birds away from backyard chickens. The virus has appeared in multiple counties across Wisconsin, including the first confirmed human case in the state in Barron County. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beverly Hills cops were called into action recently when actress Nicole Kidman and her country music star husband Keith Urban had their Beverly Hills place broken into. Hopefully they have renter's insurance. The Beverly Hills Police Department says the break-in was most likely part of a rash of burglaries from a South American gang that has been hitting Southern California. The gang was recently nabbed by the BHPD, probably led by Axel Foley. It's hard to anticipate how the Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Baldoni drama will unfold when all is said and done. They are exchanging lawsuits over incidents stemming from the set of It Ends With Us. Feeling smug and confident, Ryan Reynolds made a joke about the situation on Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary, but it appears to have backfired. Apparently, the cute power couple were given the snub at the after parties by many attendees for making light of a sensitive situation. I'm not sure who did what to whom, but Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, kind of annoying. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Happy Friday to you, I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Still rather chilly today. Sunny skies to be expected with highs near 20. Wind chills as low as 14 below in the morning. Warmer this weekend. Mostly sunny skies both days. Highs in the upper 20s on Saturday and then near 40 by Sunday. Right now, 2 below.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area joins us. Pete Schwabba from Nightlight will be here to talk about the major plot flaw in the movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sandy Williams, what was on your mind last night? 855-752-4842. You captured him so well. 855-752-4842. It's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, music.
Well, it's about what's going on. And, you know, it sort of speaks for itself, most of it. Some of it's tongue-in-cheek. Maybe most of it is. But, you know, I have to say what seems to be going on is varying degrees of astonishing. Whether it's appalling or whether it's something that is gratifying is a question of which where you're coming from on this. But I think most people are astonished, and that the kind of things we're doing are out of left field to the point where they don't seem to be the object of or the subject of much prior deliberation. They seem to be happening on the fly. You know, we're going to take Gaza, possess it, develop it into a Riviera. That was seems like an idea that was hatched moments before the words were spoken. And now we've got processes ongoing where we're essentially involved in making threats to Ukraine or its leader unless and until they sign on the dotted line and sign over to us what might amount to trillions of dollars worth of rare earth minerals, which they possess. It's like, you know, at the end of World War II, the Germans who were defeated were forced to pay huge reparations to the victors. This looks like we're asking Ukraine to pay huge reparations to us for having been their allies. When at the end of World War II, what we did was the Marshall Plan for Europe to rehabilitate it, which did involve giving them loans and then them spending the money in the U.S. to get a bunch of things accomplished. But this... Now we have a president who is basically trying to bring the president of Ukraine to heel by denigrating him, insulting him, and saying, look, unless you sign on the dotted line here, I don't know, maybe you'll lose your country. I mean, it's not about getting a peace now so much as it is getting a piece of Ukraine. If China were doing this to someplace in the world, we would be jumping up and down. We'd be sending aircraft carriers to sit offshore. This is the kind of conduct that is bully boy, the bully boy conduct that we would accuse bad guys of doing. And now we're one of them. And in the long run, bully boys get ganged up on by the kids on the playground.
You know, Sandy, maybe you've seen it before, but I don't think I've ever seen our nation just do a complete 360 in what we just saw with the support for Ukraine during the Biden administration. And then a new administration comes in and just totally takes our nation in a 360-degree change.
Yeah. I mean, where was Donald Trump? Why wasn't he speaking up on this issue at the beginning of the Ukraine conflict and saying... And saying whatever it is that ought to be the policy vis-a-vis you know, I was a person at the time, if you can take the transcripts, go back and look at them. I didn't think that we should be encouraging Ukraine at the time to stand up to Russia and not negotiate with them at the time that they were surrounded by troops because of the fact that I didn't believe that we had enough sufficient real interest in Ukraine to support them all the way through to the end of a war with Russia and to a victory. And it turns out that I was right, because here we are bailing out on Ukraine now. But that's what Donald Trump needs to admit we're doing. We're bailing out on Ukraine now. And the worst part of it is that we're doing it in a manner that seems to be completely kowtowing to the position of Russia. If we had performed as we should have maybe in 2020, we would have helped create a balance of power that would have allowed for an outcome that was not totally biased. But now we have a situation where we're adopting all of Russia's talking points. We're using their disinformation as information. I mean, I don't know whether Zelensky has a 57% approval rating exactly, but I do know this, he does not have a 4% approval rating. And we've got Elon Musk, we've got Donald Trump, we have others repeating those kind of things, which is clearly information that's being fed to them.
Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, this thing with Ukraine and Zelensky, the billions of dollars that we've given to them, I think that maybe the United States would like an audit to find out where that money went. Did it go into Zelensky's personal pockets? He won't even give us any information where the money is, how he spent it. So
why are you saying that? Do you know that to be the case?
Well, this is what I've been listening to. I mean, he doesn't have any proof of where all this money's gone. And all Donald Trump is trying to figure out is, where is the money?
That's not what Donald Trump is trying to do. No. Donald Trump is trying to get him to sign a document, to sign over one half of all of the rare earth minerals that are underground in Ukraine. And
absolutely,
that's different.
Okay. We spent billions of dollars for him. We gave him billions of dollars. Don't you think that he owes us something, Zelensky?
Well, no, wait. Let's just talk about what the conduct of alliances and what we've done in the past with respect to alliances. And, you know, we provided this money to him to support him in a war against someone that we were describing at the time as being an enemy of Europe. And the Europeans themselves have done the same thing. Now, the extent to which that money was handled correctly is the subject and shouldn't necessarily be looked into, and should have been being looked into at the time and during the time that it was being expended. And there's no question that there was undoubtedly leakage. Ukraine is a very corrupt country. We knew that. Russia knows that. But you're trying to justify something that has never been carried out before. We did not exact from South Korea reparations for the aid that we provided in South Korea. We have not exacted reparations from any of the countries in the past that we've participated on the side of, okay? This is completely different than what has ever happened in the past with respect to our conduct. And how much do you think people who we would ally with are going to want us to be their allies if this is the outcome?
Well, the thing is, all the countries that we've ever given money to are independent countries. They're not run by a dictator.
Gary, are you buying the proposition that Zelensky is a dictator? Because he was elected in 2020, and the only election that hasn't happened is the one that was scheduled for 2024. And you understand that having an election during a period of war is an almost impossible proposition if your country is the scene of the war. We had elections during World War II, but we did not have warfare ongoing in World War II. We were not the subject of attacks, assaults, and air raid sirens, and we could have lines of people voting without putting them in danger.
Do you know, Sandy, if I close my eyes and listen to Gary, I'm listening to Donald Trump. He's quoting the exact same things that Donald Trump said. He can't back up. So why is Zelensky a dictator, Gary? I'm going to ask, why is Zelensky a dictator?
Because, first of all, he doesn't want to join the European Union, doesn't want to join NATO.
Gary, thank you very much for the call. It's pretty clear Gary does not know what he's talking about, Sandy, and he's quoting things that he's heard.
Well, you know, like I said, I was against the policy the United States undertook in 2020 with respect to Ukraine. So am I unhappy completely with the foreign policy switch where we're moving in the direction of figuring out how to deal with Russia and bring them back into the process? No. But we should look at facts and at least recognize them. Who is a dictator as between Vladimir Putin
And, no question.
And Vladimir Zelensky, well, I think it's pretty clear Vladimir Putin is a dictator, okay? He's been elected in falsified campaigns and elections in a country that has increasing repression, and he's in his 24th year.
Well, I guess, Sandy, what I would say before we go back to the phone lines is these are the kind of things that we're up against, and it's why this is such a dangerous time. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Well, first of all, I mean, Gary he's the victim of the propaganda machine, you know, I understand Americans being concerned about money being spent, but gee, Gary, what's going on with Elon? And why do you think he's going through all these systems? Maybe so he gets all his money for his defense contracts? And by the way, we didn't send a boatload of cash over there. We sent weapons to their country so that they could fight the Russians and so that they wouldn't be taken over by a dictator, okay? Vladimir Zelensky was a stand-up comedian who got into politics and was voted into office. He's not quite the person that you would put in that position as a dictator. And he stood up. And all Trump is doing is going around with his hand out like he always does because he wants something for nothing. It's not costing him anything. And who do you think's going to end up with all those minerals?
I know.
Well, you think it's going to be the right. American people? Right. I mean, you think we're going to profit from that? No, we're not. No, the oligarchs. Gary, wake up. The oligarchs are going to be selling you government cheese before you know it, all right? So wake up. Watch another news station. Turn on the Cartoon Network. Have a good weekend, guys. Hey,
Brendan. Brendan kind of echoed a little bit.
Well, it's what you were saying before we went on the air, but it's absolutely true that when you end up with the right to the minerals, you know, it's people like Exxon and people who are going to mine those minerals and who's going to get the benefit of it. The U.S. government isn't in the mining business. And, you know, it's this process is so unseemly. And the notion that we would essentially use a protection racket scheme in order to exact from Ukraine a huge benefit in terms of a financial benefit must be frightening to all of the rest of our allies who are coming to realize that everything comes with a very big price. And my question for people who are looking at this and thinking about it is, whose arms are we pushing all these people into as we reject them and as we become an unreliable ally? I mean, if you're Europe, and if you're Canada, and if you're Mexico, and if you're all these countries that we're putting pressure on, who is it that you would turn to that might be powerful enough to help them resist the power of a country like the United States?
You know, Sandy, this is called the America First Doctrine. It turns out it's the Trump First Doctrine and not the American people. But you know, Gary, Sandy, is just a part of far too many Americans who don't want to question anything Donald Trump says or does. They believe in him 100%. He can't do anything wrong. And I'll say to those people, excuse me, did they know anything about Donald Trump before he became the president, Sandy? His character.
Well, they're proving that Donald Trump was right, that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue. Yeah. And get away with it. And in fact, I suspect he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, and Gary and others might decide that that guy was a real threat.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. It's Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
News from the Center, WRCE.
At 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music selection.
Well, that one's Fake Friends by Joan Jett. So, you know, we've got some potentially disingenuous friends that might not be actually there for our personal gain or benefit.
We've got a lot to cover. Let's go to Ali. Good morning to you, Ali. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I just want to say to Gary that after 9/11, when we needed help, all the NATO nations were there to help us. And afterwards, not one of them came back and said, okay, now we want half of your mineral rights, or we want this repayment, or we want that repayment. They were there to help us, and that's what we were doing, paying our obligation and helping out the Ukraine. And for Trump to come in and say that they need elections and that we saw when even a small part of Ukraine that was taken over by Russia was forced to have elections, they were held by gunpoint to put their votes in ballot boxes. That wasn't a free and fair election. And I also have one thing for Sandy. When he says, we, really, it isn't we as in the United States, is doing the things. It's Trump. These are Trump's policies, not America's policies. And we don't want people around the world to think that America is okay with these. These are Trump's policies that are going into effect.
Hey, Ali, thank you. Sandy, I want you to clarify that, because this is why I keep saying he is us, right?
Well, the problem is that under the Constitution, the president has substantial powers to conduct our foreign affairs. And so this is an area where he legitimately has the power. It's normally been wielded by people who wield it with more predictability and maybe more responsibility than he is. That's the problem. Then she's identified it is that the rest of the world views this as, they might understand that it's the president doing it, but it also represents the will of the United States, because that's what he controls.
Let's go to Jean. Good morning to you, Jean. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, good morning, guys. I'm saying that people who are following this now, I love the saying, if they're spewing it, they're doing it. And people have significant concerns about what's going on with Elon Musk and how he's ripping apart all of the structures that hold our democracy together. And we're dealing with a person, and people really need to look up narcissism, because he's surrounding himself with those type of people that don't give one iota about anybody but themselves. You look at their family situations, the many wives they've had, and the zero concerns about their kids. You pay attention to that stuff, because you're being misled. And this is significant. Why are you kowtowing to a person who, friend Howard Stern, warned the public that Trump don't care about you? He pokes fun at you when he's not with you. Why do you not pay attention to this guy who wanted military parades for himself? He wasn't worried about the cost. Why are you idolizing this man? There's something wrong. You need to look at yourselves, guys. Because why do you need a man like this running our country, calling a good man who is trying to protect his people, actually protecting the people that he governed? Zelensky, give me a break. He was right there with his people. The dictator is the guy that you're bowing down to. The dictator personality, he's spewing it, and he's doing it. Wake up, folks. Thank you very much.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, Ali kind of took umbrage to the fact that, you know, Donald Trump is representing us, and she's speaking as if he's independently, and what he's saying and doing is just Donald Trump. It's not the case, man. I mean, he's the president of the United States. That's all of us, right?
I mean, he thinks that people are kowtowing to what he says because it's him saying it. But he should understand that the reason they're kowtowing is it's the president of the United States that's saying it, okay?
Right.
It's not personal power. It's the power of the presidency.
Which is the people, right?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. A lot more to talk about, Sandy, especially how European allies are looking at this. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you. You're tuned into the Early Ingram Show. It's Friday. It's Friday with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and founder of Warrior Songs and veterans advocate Jason Moon. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate in an all-night session working to pass a budget resolution that will be key to enacting many of President Trump's initiatives. A federal judge will consider a request to further block the Trump administration from freezing trillions of dollars worth of grants and loans that fund everything from clean energy to bridge repairs. You'll make it if you can last one more day. That's what ABC's Ginger Z says about the freezing cold temperatures, including in the South.
Macon this morning, Mobile, Birmingham, Memphis, all tying or breaking daily record lows, but this is the end of it. We are going to see the warm-up. Here it comes. Nashville into the 60s, New Orleans close to 70, and Chicago will go up close to 50 as we start next week.
In court today, accused CEO killer Luigi Mangione, several of his supporters lined up outside the New York City courtroom. The next phase of the hostage release will happen tomorrow in Israel. Six hostages are set to be released in exchange for more than 600 Palestinians held in Israeli jails. This is ABC News.